The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
I want to, we're going to welcome all of our audience that will be joining us via by YouTube, by Rumble, that will be joining us from the app itself or whatever the case may be. Again, we welcome you to the broadcast. I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder, the voice, and the pastor of End Time Headlines. Today, I want to be dealing with a particular subject that's going to be an interesting topic. The Great Reset is all falling into place now. The Great Reset is all falling into place as we speak. Before we get started on today's topic, we want you to download our free app. Again, if you're watching live, when you're done with our segment, please go look under the description. You're going to see there's a place where it says download our free app. There's a link. Just simply click on that link and you can get our app for free. If you're watching this by the rebroadcast, again, depending on what platform you're watching from, if you're watching by Rumble or YouTube, in the description, there's going to be a place, same thing, download the app, get it for free. If you're listening by podcast, by Apple or by Spotify, again, go to your Apple store, your Android store, type in End Time Headlines, look for our official ETH logo, download our free app. And you say, why do I need the app? Because again, it bypasses all social media alternative outlets. So you don't rely on that. Number two, you're going to be equipped with everything our ministry has to offer right at your fingertips, and it's free. All of our headlines, all of our podcasts that you can watch, you can listen, everything is going to be right there, a blessing and a benefit for your convenience, and we want you to do that. So let's get started on this thing. Everything is falling into place for the Great Reset. Inflation. New numbers are coming out, stunning numbers showing that inflation has risen 7.9% in just the month of February alone. Food and energy costs, and we're going to talk a lot more about that in this segment, has pushed prices to the highest number in more than 40 years. This is according to CNBC News.
After months of struggling with soaring prices and busted budgets, tonight Americans are now facing an even more grim reality. Inflation accelerated 7.9% in February compared to last year, a new 40-year high. Prices are up across the board. Groceries surged 8.6% over last year, rent rising 4.7%, and most of all, gas prices spiking 38%.
When I see these numbers, it's mind-blowing.
Some price jumps are the highest ever recorded, like furniture, lunch meat, baby food, and toys.
We don't want to raise prices, but you see it creeping up on you.
Brian Bao owns the Albany restaurant. It's an 80-year-old institution in Cheyenne, Wyoming, in the mountain region where inflation is the highest in the U.S. at nearly 10%. He says his suppliers are hiking prices.
There's times where they're going to have to add a fuel surcharge. They have to pay to get the product to their warehouse, and then we have to pay again to get it here. And somebody's paying that bill, and it ultimately becomes us or our guest.
In California, Gene Olson works in a grocery store.
You're living in a constant state of panic because I'm always worrying that I've worked enough hours to make the rent.
Today, President Biden responding, saying he's fighting to bring down prices, blaming inflation in large part on what he calls Putin's price hike. But prices surged last month almost entirely before Russia invaded Ukraine, and inflation has been soaring above 5% since last May. Republicans blasting the president.
Gas is over $4 a gallon. And what does Joe Biden say? He said it's all blamed on Russia. Energy prices have been going up dramatically from the day he took office.
The next big question for people here in Wyoming and all across the country is how much will the Federal Reserve raise interest rates next week as it tries to get this inflation under control?
All this is what we're going to cover today. And then I'm going to talk about when I get to the end of today's segment, all while our eyes are focused on Russia and focused on Ukraine and focused on the crisis that's taking place and over there in Ukraine, Biden just signed an executive order on something that most people probably didn't even see it because the mainstream media was just so saturated with the war coverage that it probably gave a little bit of a blip about what took place this past week. And we're going to talk about that today. And all this, again, is all puzzle pieces that are scattered about, that are coming together, that are all falling into place for a greater agenda, which is, again, to bring about what we have talked about, what other pundits have warned about, and that is this great reset. It is not a conspiracy theory. It is not fear-mongering, and it is not some fabrication that's been made up by some right-wing conservatives or evangelicals or whatever. It's out there. The World Economic Forum has been touting about this. Schwab has been talking about this. Economic pundits have been talking about this. And the powers that be have been setting back patiently through the entire pandemic, which, by the way, was only one piece of the puzzle, but they couldn't bring this about until other things began, other dominoes begin to fall, other things begin to happen, and so that this could accelerate and that they could take advantage of these situations and these crises and bring about what we're talking about today. And friends, that is now happening. Check this out. Let me give you another headline and we'll talk about this. There is flour rationing that's taking place in Lebanon. There's grain hoarding in Hungary. How the Ukraine war is lurching the globe toward a new food crisis.
Russia's war on Ukraine has created fears of a global food crisis. The two countries supply a third of the world's wheat and are major exporters of barley, corn, and sunflower oil. Fighting has disrupted exports, and that's led to record prices on international markets. The cost of wheat is at its highest level in 14 years. Corn is at a nine-year high. Ukraine's ports stopped working when Russia began its invasion last week. This means grain stocks from both countries aren't reaching their main markets in the Middle East and Africa. Economists say consumers, particularly in lower and middle-income countries, will have to pay higher prices. Well, let's take a look at how much some countries rely on Russia and Ukraine's wheat. Many of them are already battling food shortages. Egypt is the world's biggest importer of wheat. It gets 85% of it from Russia and Ukraine. The two nations also supply war-ravaged Yemen with 40%. And Ukraine's wheat makes up around half of Lebanon's needs. The country is still recovering from the Beirut port blast in 2020 that destroyed its main grain silo.
If the situation escalates and the wheat market is halted, we have enough for about months' worth of wheat stored in mills. But after that, we have no reserves.
With war in Ukraine and Russia, our reserves will drop, and instead of supporting our needs for the next 4 years, it will only be available for 2 or 3 months. The crisis will affect us and we will suffer from wheat shortages.
Because of the war between Russia and Ukraine, we have fears of a shortage of flour and wheat. But God willing, we will overcome these difficulties.
Okay, let me give you another, and we're going to talk about all this in just a second, guys. More grocery shortages. These are all headlines. More grocery shortages could be coming with the price of food hitting record highs.
Joining me now to give his perspective on rising costs from inside the food industry is Stu Leonard Jr., the president and CEO of grocery store chain Stu Leonard's. Yeah, Stu.
I'm talking to Liz, right?
We have a situation right now that is leading some prognosticators to predict that we will have bread shortages. Please tell me what you're seeing at the moment and what you expect to see with these high wheat prices and the situation in Ukraine and Russia, both of them together equal about 40% of the world's wheat output.
You know, Liz, that was a shocking statistic I just learned. I didn't realize Ukraine and Russia produce that much of those commodities, which affects everything, even from soybean oil and things like that. So that'll definitely have an impact. But look, I've been in the business, our family has, for 50 years now. I've ridden these supply and demand curves over my lifetime. right now, I got to say, my crystal ball is broken. I can't figure out what's going to happen.
Wow.
But I would say this. I wouldn't say people have to worry about a shortage. I think if anything, if there's still the demand out there, you're going to see probably the prices tick up a little bit.
Okay, but Stu, when you eliminate 40% of any market, you know that suddenly, at least psychologically, people may start to become preppers again, which is what we saw during the pandemic, where they may stockpile bread and put it in the freezer.
Right.
You seen any kind of behavior like that yet?
Well, first of all, Liz, that's a good point. I would recommend people to do that right now. You've been talking to all these stock people about whether to buy this stock or that stock. I would say something personally you want to do, forget about the stock market, look at your own pantry and your freezer. It's probably a good time right now to stockpile some food a little bit like that. You can see things like chicken, which are going up. I just brought this. This used to cost, that's Stu Leonard's, about $5. Well, it's $8 now. Because I'm talking to the farmer. I was just talking to a guy this morning. And he's got to put fuel in his tractors in the morning. And his corn feed prices are going up. Chickens eat about a pound and a half of corn every year. And so it's costing him more money. What I've been doing with the farmers is I've been saying to them, look, let's split it 50-50. I'll eat half of the increase. You eat half of the increase. They've all agreed to that so far. I'm hoping, I've been optimistic from the beginning that all of these supply and demand disruptions are going to be settling out a little bit in the next few months. But like I said, I've been saying that for 2 years now.
Well, yeah, but the situation,
it's tough.
Right, and what we're seeing now in Eastern Europe has really ramped up the anxiety, I believe. But you just made a good point about how the farmers need their gasoline. I look at that and I say, well, now we've got a real problem because it is really working its way through. I had seen this headline. Bunge says its new export business from Russia has been suspended. Bunge, of course, is a big global grain trader, ticker symbol BG. And this is really starting to be a wave of companies saying, no more business with Russia. We're done.
Hey, look at this. Bloomberg, here's a report from Bloomberg. Other sources talked about this. Americans may have to say goodbye to steak and burgers. I know all you Texans are going to love this headline. As beef costs rise. Here's another headline. The world may be facing one of the largest energy shocks ever. This was according to Goldman Sachs. Let me say that again. The world, not America, not Europe, the world may be looking at one of the largest energy shocks ever recorded. So let's get after this. Let's just talk about this for just a moment here. A Yahoo Finance article is now referring to beef as a luxury meat. Quote, Americans could be cutting steaks and burgers from their diets as inflation continues to soar. If beef packer profit margins are any indication of such, quote, processors like Tyson Foods Incorporated and JBS USA are making the least amount of money per head of cattle slaughtered in more than 2 years, according to data from Hedger's Edge LLC, which is a sign that that demand for the luxury meat is flagging. Quote, but with the price of beef rising, many Americans will soon only be able to eat it once in a while. It will be a luxury. Now, and again, all part of the agenda. How many of the talking heads have been touting for years how we need to get off meat dependency? We need to cut meat out. We need to go to alternative sources of meat. We need to go completely vegan. We need to go to plant-based meat sources. We need to, and then there's the emphasis of laboratory-grown meat. people like Bill Gates have been touting this, and others that are always in the limelight.
Now, a large part of the carbon we have in the atmosphere now is caused by the electricity grid, which is about 25% or so.
Exactly.
So 24%, it comes from agriculture and forestry. Why is that causing such a big increase in carbon?
Well, that category is a variety of things. When you clear land, you're taking in the carbon that's stored, say, in the trees or plants there, and you're releasing all of that, like burning the land, say, in Indonesia for palm oil plantations. Another thing is that cows and other grass-eating species have a digestion system that emits methane. And methane is a very powerful greenhouse gas. And so cows alone account for about 6% of global emissions. And so we need to change
cows,
just cows alone.
How are we going to do that?
Well, actually, of all the categories, the one that has gone better than I would have expected 5 years ago is this work to make what's called artificial meat. And so you have people like Impossible or Beyond Meat, both of which I invested in.
You eat it as well? Or do you like it?
Absolutely.
You do.
You can go to Burger King and buy the Impossible Burger.
All right. Is it healthier for you or just healthier for the atmosphere?
It's slightly healthier for you in terms of less cholesterol. It's, of course, dramatic reduction in methane emissions, you know, animal cruelty, manure management, and the pressure that meat consumption puts on land use.
You guys have seen this. So again, is anyone shocked by this? Let me give you another example of this, how it's all falling into place. Look at the rising gas prices. What have they been saying for years and years? We have been warned that we need to get off of oil dependency. We need to get off of gas-powered vehicles, and we need to be looking to alternative ways of transportation, electric cars.
Now, a look at President Biden's plans on climate change from two perspectives. Reducing emissions from cars and trucks is a big part of this. Gasoline-powered vehicles are the biggest source of emissions here in the U.S., accounting for more than a quarter of the total. Today, President Biden laid out new rules, agreements, and timelines to try to cut that percentage down significantly. Amna Nawaz begins there.
Judy, a fundamental piece of that plan is getting people to buy electric vehicles and other so-called zero-emission vehicles. Before driving around the White House grounds in an electric Jeep, President Biden said he wants half of all new vehicles sold in 2030 to be zero-emission cars and trucks.
There is a vision of the future that is now beginning to happen, a future of the automobile industry that is electric, battery electric, plug-in hybrid electric, fuel cell electric. It's electric, and there's no turning back. The question is whether we'll lead or fall behind in the race for the future.
Now, go Google it, and you'll see just by search engines and search queries and everything else that people are flooding search engines looking for electric vehicles. And again, the powers that be are ecstatic. They are excited because this is what they have been pushing. If you've been paying attention, this is what they've been pushing, guys. Of course, it's not just meat supplies that are going to be tightening. Ukraine and Russia account for about 30% of all global wheat exports. Let me say that again, and then I want to talk about something real quick. Again, Ukraine and Russia normally account for 30%, let that soak in, of all global wheat exports. Now, there was a headline that came out and a warning by multiple sources that was warning Ukrainian intelligence and government sources from Ukraine was warning that Putin could possibly carry out an attack against Chernobyl or a nuclear facility there. They've gained control and they've gained access of two facilities there in Ukraine. Now, I don't want to get into the whole, yeah, I don't believe that, you know, that's false news and that's fabrication and we don't know what to believe and blah, blah, blah. We're not going to get into all that. I am tired of arguing with people. Again, I'm going to report the news that's out there and you do what you want with it. But I'm going to tell you something. If this does happen, if such an attack were to take place and it was to be carried out, not only would it be an environmental disaster of unimaginary ramifications, but listen to me, if 30% of all of our global wheat exports come from this region, and it's already impacted Egypt and Lebanon and Syria and other locations in the Middle East. Think about it, guys. What would happen if such an attack were to be carried out against Chernobyl or any of these nuclear facilities that would be catastrophic? It would completely, you want to talk about shortages that are unimaginary, it would absolutely cripple the food supply. If it's this bad now in the midst of a war, what would it be in the event of that kind of disaster? This is the kind of stuff that you need to be thinking about and you need to be praying about. As panic about global food supplies continues to spread, some countries are already placing restrictions, hear me, on how much can be sent out of the country. One example was Indonesia, who is already tightening curbs on palm oil exports. And then in Eastern Europe, Serbia, Hungary, and Bulgaria have all recently made moves to make sure that their people have enough to eat. And by the way, China has been hoarding wheat for a long time now. And we've talked about that. China, now I don't want to go ahead and get your, let me get my tin foil out and put it on my head and make it real tight. But it's very interesting to me that China, for at least 2 years now, before all this happened with Russia and Ukraine and all this stuff, it's interesting that they were already hoarding wheat and barley and doing all this way before this ever happened. So it's interesting that China's prepared for such a catastrophe, but here in the West, we're not. Things that make you go, Why are we cutting oil off with Russia, but we refuse to take advantage of opportunities that we have here in our own country? Things that make you go, Again, the wheels are turning in motion, guys. Serbia announced on Wednesday it will ban exports of wheat, corn, flour, and cooking oil as of this past Thursday, to counter price increases, while Hungary banned all grain exports last week. Bulgaria has also announced it will increase its grain reserves and might restrict exports until it has carried out planned purchases. And by the way, that's happening in Egypt and it's happening in Lebanon. What am I talking about? Famine in the Middle East. Interesting, the Bible speaks of famines in the last days. We've talked about that. Read it. It's in the book of Revelation. There's the black horse rider with the scales. And it tells you there in descriptive detail that a cost of a loaf of bread will require a whole day's wages. And it's interesting that we are, again, inching closer. I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow. I'm not saying that the black horse rider is here. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying we're in the tribulation. But what I'm saying is that the tapestry is being painted before us, and through prophetic eyes, we can see the big picture of where this is heading. But there's greater concern. What is Ukraine doing and what they've decided to do? Typically, Ukraine is one of the largest exporters in the entire planet. But now the Ukrainian government has issued an emergency order, which essentially bans, listen to me, the export of most food. Ukraine, I'm going to give you this quote from the Associated Press. Quote, Ukraine, known as the breadbasket of Europe, has given its long been among the world's top 10 wheat exporters and supplied over $6 billion in agricultural products to the European Union in 2020, has issued an emergency order as of this Wednesday, banning the export of grains and other products. The ban includes the export of wheat, oats, millet, buckwheat, sugar, live cattle, meat, and other products considered vital to the global economy. Wow. But amid wartime, and with Ukraine's government saying many of its citizens are now starving under Russian siege, Ukraine's minister of agrarian, I believe, and food policy said the drastic action was taken to avert a, quote, humanitarian crisis in Ukraine, stabilize the market, and, quote, meet the needs of the population and critical food products, end quote. That's according to the Associated Press. Now let's talk about Lebanon. Lebanon typically gets 60% of the wheat that it derives from Ukraine. Listen, did you hear that? 60% of the wheat that it gets is from Ukraine. But they have been cut off from Ukrainian wheat. And according to, I'm going to read this. This is a quote from the Irish Times. Quote, Lebanon could face wheat shortage from July, forcing the government to reduce subsidized flat rounds of Arabic bread, which sustain the 80% of Lebanon's population who live in poverty as it is. Flour mills in Lebanon delivered supplies only to bread bakeries on Monday and Tuesday, forcing bakers who make pastries and theme pizzas to close as a means of rationing wheat imported from Ukraine, which supplies 60% of the country's wheat needs. So again, this global food crisis, this wheat shortage, this food shortage is going global. 1 part, Michael Snyder put a piece in one of his articles, and I'm going to read this. If the war stretches on for an extended period of time, how bad will things be 6 months from now? That's the question. Here in the United States, fertilizer prices, by the way, there's a fertilizer shortage, excuse me, that is still ongoing. It has wreaked havoc for farmers all over the country.
Russia, that it produces roughly about 2/3 of the world's fertilizer, has decided to temporarily suspend exports. Joining me now is Ben Neal, who owns a farm in Oklahoma. Ben, good to see you tonight. Now, we're coming up, of course, on the spring planting season. How could this affect you and then consumers down the line going forward?
Hi, Laura. Thanks for having me. We're getting hit on every front, on every expense possible, from fertilizer to fuel to labor, insurance, everything in between, our packing supplies. So we operate a small farm in Oklahoma. 100% of our sales are farm to home delivery. And so we are driving across the state, and you know, the fuel costs are really painful for us.
Well, when you think about what it costs now just for, you know, a dozen eggs or a pound of ground beef versus a year ago, and then you add in the cost of fuel, On top of that, what it costs to grow crops with these increased prices of fertilizer and the shortage of fertilizer we might have. What kind of increase in your monthly bills are you looking at here?
Well, I would say our increases are roughly 25 to 30%. And I think that that will soon be reflected at the grocery stores. And, you know, on top of what we're already seeing, these fertilizer price increases haven't really affected the grocery store prices yet, but they will start coming this summer.
Well, I just don't think anyone's even thinking about that. I mean, I haven't heard one politician, Ben, address that one issue. Without fertilizer, we don't have crops. Or am I missing something?
That's correct. I mean, you know, everybody eats, and it affects everybody, and it is going to hit everybody's household. And we need to figure out what we're doing with American energy, and we need to start producing more at home.
Bringing back to that point of American made, your crops are American made. Doesn't this tell us once and for all that it's time to bring it all home, as much of key industries as we can bring back to the United States?
Yeah, I mean, I find myself asking a question probably like most Americans. Why are we buying oil from countries that hate us when we can produce all of our own oil at home and solve this problem?
Quote, if you're upset that gas is up a dollar or two a gallon, wait until your grocery bill is up $1,000 a month. Stop. That's another thing that I want to emphasize to everyone watching and listening. While everybody's so upset about the rising gas prices, guys, most of you guys are intelligent enough to know this, but it appears that some people are either just naive, ignorant, or just have just overlooked this. But when we see the gas prices going up and up and up and up and up, everything else is going to go up and up and up. Everything, all consumer goods that you buy, all toiletries that you buy, foods, supplies, everything is going to go exponentially up. This quote is hyperinflation. Soaring, let me read the rest of this. Quote, and it might not just manifest itself in terms of price, it would be quantity as well. Empty shelf syndrome may begin to take place. And that's what we talked about earlier. They've been warning about this because, again, guys, truckers are paying an insane amount of money for fuel. And what's going to happen when, and by the way, isn't it interesting that all the individuals working, I just saw an article, what was it, 2 days ago, that one of the major airline industries has now removed all the restrictions on the vaccine mandate, and they actually reached out to many of their employees that were fired because they refused. Now they're asking him to come back. Well, isn't that interesting? Why? Because they are being crippled by what's going on. So desperate measures, listen, desperate times result to desperate measures. All right. Goldman Sachs is now telling us that all this could result in one of the largest energy supply shocks that we've ever seen. Given Russia's key role in global energy supply, the global economy could soon be faced with one of the largest energy supply shocks ever. This was according to Goldman Sachs on a Monday night report this past week, adding that the scale of the shock is, quote, potentially enormous. Now, what does that mean? Again, energy supply. This means that all energy costs, your electric bill, your heat bill, all that, again, this is truly stunning times that we're living in. My generation has never seen anything like this, ever. My children's generation has definitely not seen anything like this. Everything that we've heard about, we've discussed, that we've known about, and we've heard and read and we've seen in history books. Maybe you got grandmother and grandfather that they lived through the Great Depression. They lived through those times and they talked about how bad it was. Friends, I could be wrong, but I feel like that this is coming to our doorstep. This is ringing our doorbell right now. We may not be standing in soup kitchen lines yet. We may not be going door to door in our neighbor's house asking them if they've got some flour or they got some sugar or they got some milk, because we're running a little short yet. We may not be seeing these things yet, but friends, it is even at the door. Again, what's going to be 3 months from now, 6 months from now? And this war, some pundits are saying that this war in Russia and Ukraine could drag out for years. Guys, we can't sustain ourselves in this environment for years. How's gas going to go? $8 a gallon, $10 a gallon, $12 a gallon. We will completely collapse. And guess what? There is powers that be that have wanted this to happen. They are looking for this to happen. They are going to take advantage of this to happen. And that leads me to the final part of this session. And that is this. While all eyes are on Ukraine, while all eyes are watching the next move that Putin makes, what's he going to do? How's he going to respond? Is he going to use chemical weapons? Is he going to use nuclear weapons? Is he going to carry out the order of recruiting Syrian forces and fighters in Russia? Is he going to carry out a terror attack against Chernobyl? Wow, we're all focused and watching this as we should be watching. And we should be alert and we should be taking note of all this stuff. But it's interesting that while this is happening, while the right hand is making all the noise, the left hand, the Biden administration, is completely throwing its entire support behind further study and development of what would be known as a, quote, U.S. central bank digital currency. Look at this headline. This was not conspired from some conspiracy blog or forum or End Time radical news website. No, this was a mainstream news outlet. Quote, Biden takes big step toward government-backed digital currency.
President Biden signed an executive order today directing the federal government to come up with a plan to regulate cryptocurrencies. The move follows what the Biden administration is calling the, quote, explosive growth of digital assets in recent years. Under the order, the government will coordinate efforts with financial regulators to get a better understanding of the risks and benefits of cryptocurrencies. The directive also calls for the exploration and consideration of creating a digital form of the U.S. dollar.
Quote, this is from NBCNews.com. A U.S. digital currency could be on the horizon. We've heard about this. We've talked about this. We've discussed this. We've said to be watching for this. But listen to this. Quote, the Biden administration is putting its full support behind the research and development of a what they're calling a U.S. central bank digital currency, or a CBDC. The move is part of a sweeping executive order. I said it's a sweeping executive order. President Joe Biden signed this executive order 3 days ago, instructing the federal government to explore possible uses and regulations for digital assets like cryptocurrencies. Quote, my administration places the highest urgency on research and development efforts into the potential design and deployment options of a U.S. CBDC, or according to the executive order that read this. Now, why is he doing this? Because it doesn't take a genius to figure out that just like in the time of World War II and the time of the war that took place there. Remember, money became useless. Hyperinflation hit. They were burning monies. They were burning money in barrels. Hyperinflation gripped the world. And it doesn't take a genius to figure out, guys, that when you enter into an economic war with a superpower like Russia, who's in bed with China, and you got all these other nations that are going to be involved, eventually, I'm telling you, listen, America has to get out of the way as the superpower of the world. And some experts believe that they're not even the superpower of the world anymore because China has already taken their place. And consequently, China has already been in the works of creating a digital currency. So this is nothing new. This is something they just didn't conspire up. Guys, again, listen to me. Everything is going in motion. Everything, the wheels are turning. Everything, these are all contingency plans. These are things that are set in motion. If tomorrow came, listen, if tomorrow the U.S. dollar collapsed and it was no longer, it was useless, they already got things set up and in motion for it to go forward. This is where it's headed.
For me, the biggest story of the week is probably the least talked about story. It is Joe Biden's executive order on cryptocurrency. It's an amazing executive order. You should read it. We must take strong steps to reduce the risks that digital assets could pose to climate change and pollution. Climate change and pollution. Yeah, I mean, it was a big list, but that's on that list. Climate change and pollution. Apparently, not only are we worried about, you know, dark money. I love that Joe Biden worried about dark money. Well, we worry about dark money. People, you know, doing things that they shouldn't and not paying their taxes because they deal in Bitcoin. We're also worried about the energy that it takes to have a decentralized currency. And so Section 5 of the executive order measures to protect consumers, investors, and businesses. Includes a subsection telling the director of the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy to lead work on an interagency report examining climate and energy concerns around cryptocurrency. You know, the only thing this doesn't have in it is maybe a chip that we put into our forehead or our hand. Other than that, it's great. This is a way to completely control absolutely every human being on Earth. And it is coming. And I think there's a chance it comes before the election. But I do believe it will come before Congress is reseated if they should lose Congress.
This is where it's headed. Just on a currency practicality, but also, listen, a digital currency will give the capability for the governments of the world to track every transaction that is made from its citizens. This is what they're doing in China. And the U.S. is following in the same footsteps. And eventually, this will go global. And this is part of the Great Reset. The order asks for a wide variety of agencies to begin research and submit reports on a variety of issues surrounding digital currencies. Gee, I wonder where they're going to get some of the reports from. I wonder who the guinea pig, the lab rat of this is going to be. Probably nations that are already doing this are in the works of this, from design and security to financial and societal impacts. There you go. Financial and societal impacts. Quote, we know the implications of potentially issuing a digital dollar are profound. They're extraordinary, wide-ranging, according to a senior administration official. Although U.S. digital currency would not necessarily change much in terms of everyday experiences yet, like buying goods and services. Economists say it could transform central and commercial banking, as well as government sanctions, banking accessibility, and taxes. Don't let it fool you. Listen, oh, it ain't going to change. Let me say it again, quote, it's not necessarily going to change everyday experiences like buying and selling. Baloney. Don't let them fool you. Again, I'm talking to Bible believers today. We know, according to Revelation 13, there is coming a system that will require a mark that will be placed in or on the forehead or on the right hand. And without it, you won't be able to buy, sell, or trade. All transactions and all exchanges will be required through that system. Somehow, some way, all this is going to fit into that. The executive order will call on the government to investigate the technical needs for a digital currency and advocate for the Federal Reserve to continue its research and development, according to a fact sheet released by the White House. The Fed published a white paper in January about potentially creating a CBDC digital currency that would complement existing payment systems. For the time being, it will complement them, but don't let it fool you. Eventually, it will replace it. It found that a CBDC would make payments cheaper and easier. There it is, convenience, in the name of convenience, for consumers, but might also pose a risk for the stability of the U.S. financial system. Listen to this. The U.S. would not be the first country with a digital currency. We just talked about that. Quote, China has introduced its own CBDC with more than 140 million people having open digital wallets, and many other countries have either rolled out or are developing digital currencies. There you go. Wasn't a conspiracy theory. It's fact. The Bahamas sand dollar is considered among the world's most successful digital currencies. Quote, listen to this. Yermak said the move by the Biden administration pointed to what he believes is a certain inevitability of the broader move toward digital currencies. Quote, it's not a question of if, but when, he said. Once the central banks begin co-opting the technology, it's pretty much, I quote, game over, end quote. So guys, listen to me. The Great Reset is moving forward at breakneck speeds. And what we're seeing, what we're witnessing, what we're experiencing is all part of this moving forward. So you say, well, how do we prepare for this, Brother Ricky? First of all, we got to be right. We got to be on the right side. We got to be, I'm not talking about political right. I'm talking about on the side of the Lord. Set your house in order spiritually first. Get saved, get born again, get right with the Lord, get on his side. I want to be on the side of the armies of the Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because my Bible says that this earth is passing away. My Bible says it will be renovated by fire, and that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is coming back, and he's setting up his kingdom to rule and reign for 1,000 years, and he's bringing the saints with him. So everything we see, everything that we value in earthly terms, it's all going to be burned up. It's all passing away. But the Bible says that not one jot nor tittle of the word shall pass away until all things be fulfilled. All this, guys, is just Bible prophecy accelerating. We know, according to the Bible, there's going to be one world leader. His name, he will be, the term that is given according to the Bible is the Antichrist. He will come to power. There's going to be one world religion, and it's going to be his religion. And it's going to be a false religion, a deceptive religion. And the Bible says that there's going to be great deception among the unrighteous. And by the way, next week, I've got a whole message on deck. I'm working and developing the notes on this. And I'm going to talk about how the Antichrist will deceive the world. You don't want to miss that. We're going to talk about that next week. So this kind of ties in with that. So there's going to be a one world leader. There's going to be a one world currency. I believe that. And again, there's going to be a system, buying, selling, trading, and you will not be able to make transaction unless you pledge your allegiance to this man, the Antichrist, and his system. So that means, that tells me if there's going to be a one world leader, and there's going to be a one world currency, and there's going to be a one world religion, then there's going to be a one world government. And by the way, that's all pictured and portrayed in Genesis chapter 11, where there was a Tower of Babel that was constructed, by the way, and I did a whole segment. Y'all, you got to go and listen to that on our podcast archives. I did a whole parallel of there was a global disaster that required a global reset, and the global reset was constructed and brought about in the form of what was called the Tower of Babel. And it was head up by a man by the name of Nimrod, who led or spearheaded this thing, and it was all in defiance of God. And it's going to happen again. And by the way, it says they were one language, one purpose. It was a picture of a one world government. Then we fast forward, we go to Revelation. We go to the book of Revelation, howbeit Revelation 13 and other passages, and it tells you that the way it began, it's going to repeat itself. There's no new thing under the sun. Satan is going to rise up, this Antichrist, and he's going to come on the scene, and we'll talk more about that next week. This guy is going to be an orator. He's going to be, he's going to have the right words to say. He's going to have the great plan laid out. He's going to have the nations of the world eating out of his hand. They're going to hail him as a hero. And we'll talk more about that. But all this, guys, it's just paving the way for it. Now, I know there's other Christian pundits out there that are rebuking guys like me, calling us gloom and doomers, and preaching hyperbole and fear-mongering and scaremongering, and saying it's all ridiculous. But we'll see who's laughing in the end. Listen, that stuff's not going to sway me. You think I'm going to get off my post and stop being a watchman because some people that don't understand completely Bible prophecy, that are getting out of their lane, trying to rebuke guys like me for doing what we're called to do? It's not going to shake me. It's not going to move me. I've made my face like flint. They didn't call me, and they didn't position me to do what I'm called to do. God did. And until God calls me home, until God pulls the card, and until he punches my card and tells me it's time to go on and go home, I'm going to keep preaching and teaching what I've been called to preach and teach in this hour. So again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website, guys. It's going to be right there. If you're watching this, again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Don't forget to subscribe. Get our daily digest. It's one digest in your inbox every single day, and it's going to keep you up to date. But above all that, I just say, if you don't want the digest, that's fine. But at least get the app. If it was up to me, I would get the app, because the app, and guys, I have apps to other news and other things and ministries that I follow. And I love it because it notifies me of new messages. And in our case, if you push yes to the push notifications, it's going to notify you every time we post an article. Boom, it's going to be right there. And you go, oh man, I would have missed this. But no, it's going to be right there for your convenience. So download the app, and it's free. It's absolutely free. Get it. It's on Apple. Get it. It's on Android. And get it today so you can be informed of the latest news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity, if this ministry is a continual source of information, blessing, equipping, encouragement, on a weekly basis. And you've been blessed by our ministry. You've been blessed by what we do and what we say and what we talk about on a weekly basis. We want you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. And you could do that with a gift of any amount, or maybe the Lord will put on your heart and give a one-time gift or whatever. Everything is free. Our app is free. Our subscription base is free. Our ministries, our messages are free. Everything is free. But I always say this, the water is free, but the pipes that the water runs through is not. Okay, so again, we want to give you the opportunity. You pray about it. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. We don't manipulate you. We don't tell you the Lord said, you know, if you give this amount, then he's going to do that. That's manipulation. That's garbage. We don't do that. But if you wish to give in any form or way, you can give electronically by going to the app right there in your hand. That's why we told you to download it. All the way to the bottom where it says donate, just click on that on the app and you can give electronically, or go to the main website, click on there. It's going to show you how to give there. If you wish to give by check or money order, you can do that. It's easy. Just make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. Now, guys, I know I want to give you an update so you guys know how to pray for me. Many of you guys have been asking how I am physically. Again, real quick, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because I don't want to constantly rehash this. But back in November of last year, our family got hit with COVID. Bam, all sinuses just took a pounding, took a beating, went all in my ears. My right ear became congested for 3 months. It finally opened up, praise God. And then in February of this year, the first week of February, we got hit with a head cold, got hit, all went to my ears again. This time, right ear has been going, this is five, going, next week will be 5 weeks, still clogged up, still congested. It's getting better. It's not as bad as it was when it first started, but it's a slow process. We're throwing everything but the kitchen sink at it. I appreciate everybody that sent me all these holistic things and remedies and resources. And I mean, we're doing everything we can possibly. I have an appointment this Tuesday for the ear, nose, and throat specialist so that they can look at it, see what their assessment is. I'm praying that I do not have to do anything invasive, such as cutting on the eardrum to drain fluid or tubes or anything. I went through all that when I was a little boy with the tubes and all that, was put to sleep, but they don't put you to sleep now as an adult. I didn't even know that until recently, started researching this. But I want to avoid that at all costs. So I'm praying and believing that the Sudafed, the decongestants, the Zyrtec and the Allegra and the sinus rinses and all this stuff will be persistent and it will take care of the job. With your prayers of agreement, I appreciate you guys praying for me to get completely whole again, that I can hear 100% again, and just get back to normal. My goodness, you know, the Bible says don't grow weary in well-doing. And that's been a fight. I'm trying not to grow weary in well-doing, but I'm going to keep the fight, keep pressing forward. And I know that God will give me the victory in Jesus' name. But I appreciate your prayers and support. Again, we're going to sign off for today. Guys, God bless you, and may the Lord bless you, keep you. May his countenance shine upon you this weekend. Stay safe, and we'll see you guys next week. God bless you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.